This is Audible.
Sweet Temptation by Maya Banks. Narrated by Caroline Wintour. Copyright 2010 by Maya Banks. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Maya Banks, care of Trident Media Group, and was produced in the year 2011 by Tantor Media Incorporated, which holds the copyright thereto. Prologue. Angelina Moyano watched from a distance as Micah Hudson stood over the two headstones in the small graveyard. She steadied him from behind a large oak tree, her small hands gripping the rough bark. It was always like this. At dawn he'd come to honor their memories, just as he did every year. The sun's rays were barely peeking over the horizon, but the Florida humidity was already thick and heavy, each breath a struggle in the cloying heat. She chanced to look over her shoulder, damning her paranoia that she'd been followed, but she couldn't afford to take chances. Seeing nothing, she turned her attention back to Micah. He knelt at Hannah's grave and carefully laid a single yellow rose, her favorite, just below the marble slab that marked her death. He kissed his thumb and the ridge of his forefinger, then laid his hand over the flat ground. Angelina sucked in her breath. It was different this year. Before, he'd always stood there looking so haunted, his eyes filled with grief and regret. This year he seemed to be saying goodbye. Her eyes filled with tears when he turned to David's grave and drew a simple rosary from his pocket. He kissed the beads and then laid them at her brother's headstone. Sadness knotted her throat. She missed them too. She missed Micah, but he was as lost to her as David and Hannah. Maybe now he was ready. Ready to let go. He had grieved long enough. She had grieved long enough. He rose, shoving his hands into his pockets. For a long moment he simply stood there as the early morning light grew a little brighter. Warmth flooded the place where Micah stood, and Angelina took it as a sign that it was time. "I love you," she whispered, letting the wind carry her words away. When he finally turned and walked back toward his truck, she waited only long enough that she wouldn't be seen, before she darted back to her car. She would have to hurry if she was going to get to Twilight before he did. It was where he always went after he paid homage to his former wife and David, his best friend. Only Angelina understood the need that drove him. Only she understood his pain, knew his private demons. She would help him because she could do nothing else. She'd loved him far too long. Maybe now he could finally love her in return. She took the shortest route to the club and whipped into the back parking lot 10 minutes later. Though it operated 24 hours a day, at this time of the morning it was usually empty, and she knew that was one of the reasons Micah always chose this time to come. Grabbing her bag, she hurried inside the employee entrance and checked with Rose, who manned the front door. "I'm here, Rose. Just give me a minute to change. If he gets here, put him in room 1.
"Hey, baby, I see him walking up now, so scoot on back so he doesn't see you."
"Thanks, Mama Rose." She blew a kiss to the older woman and ran for the dressing room. She didn't go for garish dress-up. No leather, no high-heeled boots. No, save for the mask that protected her identity, she went with black jeans and a long-sleeved black shirt. Her long, dark hair was drawn into a braid and tucked down her shirt. She was as nondescript as they came. The last item was the leather mask that covered her from the neck up. Only her eyes were visible, and they blended with the dark leather. Dark, almost black. David would have killed her if he were alive. He and Hannah would both be horrified that David's little sister was, for all practical purposes, a surrogate daughter to a woman who owned one of Miami's most successful bondage clubs. Micah would look at her with those dark eyes and ask her what the hell a little girl like her was doing in a place like this. And it was all because of him. A soft knock at her door had her whirling around as Mama Rose stuck her head in.
"He's ready for you."
Angelina nodded and walked out the door and down the hall to one of the flogging rooms. When she entered, she sucked in her breath so hard her chest hurt. Her reaction to him never dimmed. The sight of such a powerful, proud man standing in the middle of the room, bared to the waist, his hands high above him, tied to a spreader. He was utterly magnificent.
On another man, his pose might seem submissive, weak. Only she knew better. Underneath the seemingly calm surface was a man who seethed with emotion, dark and boiling, and she would call it to the surface. His head rose when he heard her footsteps. There was a vulnerability to his eyes she hadn't seen in the past, as if the emotion bubbled that much closer to the surface. Before, he'd buried it, only releasing it with his pain. Not everyone would understand his needs, but she did. Oh, how she did! She would set him free. She would give him what he needed.
Don't go easy, he said in a low voice.
She nodded her acceptance of his request. She alone understood his need for this kind of pain. They were more alike than he would ever know. She uncoiled the whip and let the end fall to the floor as she circled behind him. Such beauty! His back was broad, his waist lean and narrow. The muscles tensed and bunched between his shoulder blades as he readied himself for her strike. How long she had practiced, relentlessly perfecting her method, so she would never disappoint him. He was safe in her hands. The first lash landed against his skin with a deafening crack. He jerked but quickly righted himself and went still, awaiting the next. She flicked her wrist again, exerting just the right amount of force, and placed an identical stripe across from the first. She forced herself to relax, to not allow the welling emotion to bubble up. Calmly and methodically she kissed his back with the lash, watching as he jumped and bowed under the whip. Sweat glistened on his back, dampening his hair until it fell in limp curls past his neck. Still she continued, sensing he needed more. She striped one side then the other, working a path down to his waist. As she worked her way back up, blood beaded and shone in the low light. Finally, release. Lightly, like a lover's kiss, she whispered the whip across his shoulders until they were slick with blood. It was like making a cut in a festering wound. The relief was profound, as pressure and pain escaped the seething cauldron. His hands clenched in their bonds, his wrists flexing as he raised his head, looking upward as if he was seeking redemption. With every stroke, she lavished him with her love. It would have seemed bizarre to someone who didn't understand, an unacceptable outlet for many. But this was his way. She accepted it, as she did him. A heavy sigh escaped him, the only sound he made the entire time. His shoulders drooped, and she knew it was enough. She let the whip fall and walked around to face him. His eyes were closed, but his cheeks were streaked with tears. Her own eyes clouded with moisture. He'd never cried for them. Not at the funeral, not at the graves, not afterward when he'd driven her home. And then he'd simply disappeared, dealing with his grief as he did everything else, alone. She ached to hold him, to tell him it was all right, that Hannah and David loved him too, that she loved him, that he didn't have to be alone any longer. Instead, she stepped forward and cupped his face lovingly in her hands. She pressed a kiss to his forehead and whispered in a husky voice he'd never recognize, "Vaya en paz." Go in peace. As she stepped away, he looked up at her with glazed, unfocused eyes. Another tear slipped down his cheek, marking a raw trail on his face. "Thank you," he said in a husky voice. She simply nodded, knowing that even if she dared, she wouldn't have been able to speak around the knot in her throat. She kissed the shaft of the whip and laid it carefully at his feet. She left the room on shaky legs, knowing Mama Rose waited to free Micah and to attend him in whatever way necessary. She also knew he'd refuse the older woman's attentions and would be gone within minutes. She shed her mask for the last time. It was all she could do not to run back down the hall and throw her arms around him, beg him to take her with him. Letting him go instilled in her a fierce ache. Because this time he wouldn't be back. With that realization, she knew that it was now or never for her. She'd given Micah the time he needed to heal. It was up to her now to go to him, show him it was okay to love again. He might not be coming back to Miami, but there was nothing to stop her from going to Houston. She had to go. She couldn't stay here. It wasn't safe, and Micah was all she had to run to. Chapter 1. Houston, Texas. He didn't see her right away. His view of her was obscured by the typical eclectic mix of sexcapades, business as usual on a Saturday night at the house. The common room where people met to play and act on their fantasies was alive with the sounds and smells of sex. Micah Hudson sauntered farther into the room, his gaze scanning the erotic mix of flesh. It struck him, as he paused to stare at a beautiful woman being pleasured by an equally beautiful woman, that he was bored, restless, cagey even. His concentration left the pair when he heard the unmistakable slap of leather against skin and a breathless sound of pleasure that rose and quivered around his ears, beckoning him, where? And then he saw her, small, curvy and striking. Her nude body glowed in the soft lighting, her skin a light creamy brown, hinting at Hispanic heritage. Her hair slid like a waterfall over her shoulders, parted down her spine by the slither of a whip as it met her flesh again. He couldn't see her face, and suddenly he wanted to very much. Were her eyes closed in ecstasy, her face soft and warm with pleasure? Her rounded buttock shook slightly as her body swayed in the grip of the whip. Her feet moved, arched, and then replanted as she braced herself. It was much like a dance, her rhythm intoxicating and erotic. High above her head, her hands flexed and tightened against the rope that held her wrists captive. Her skin rippled over her shoulder blades as they dipped and caused a slight hollow. Then she relaxed again, and her low moan drifted to him once again. Beautiful. She was fucking beautiful. Desire whispered through his veins, gathering momentum, moving faster, surging through his groin. His dick tightened painfully, and he shifted to alleviate the uncomfortable tension. No longer able to stand watching from afar, he moved forward, working his way through the crowd, around the people watching the flogging. He circled so that he could see her profile. Disappointment settled into his chest when he saw the half-mask covering her eyes. His gaze traveled over her luscious, plump lips that were perfectly bowed and untarnished by lipstick. They parted again as another sensuous gasp escaped from her throat. He could no longer hear the slap of leather or the conversation around him. The sounds of the other occupants fell away, and all he could hear was her. Her breasts, high and firm, smaller than he usually liked, jiggled when she endured another blow. The nipples, brown, darker than her skin, erect and puckered, soft-looking. What would they taste like? How would they feel in his mouth, between his fingers? His fingers curled. He could feel the slight weight of the globes in his palms as surely as if he were standing in front of her, measuring their size with his hands. She was a perfect hourglass, her hips slightly wider than her waist, her belly flat and drawing attention to the soft curls between her thighs. They were dark like the fall of hair spilling over her shoulders, and they shielded her femininity, revealing nothing of what lay beneath. But he could imagine. Oh, yes, he could feel her damp heat as he parted the tender folds and delved beyond the silky curls. He'd stroke a finger over her clit and then trail lower to her center, stroking inward, feeling the clasp of her pussy sucking him deeper. Jesus! Sweat beaded his brow, and his cock swelled and strained against his fly. What about her did it for him? It wasn't as if he didn't see women like this in the house all the time. Was it the mystery? Was it her arresting beauty? Or maybe it was the way she arched and bowed her body, seeking the kiss of the whip even as she flinched away. She was into it in a big way, deep. Her eyes were closed, but he was sure they were dark like the rest of her. Those sumptuous lips puckered and parted, opened and closed. She made the most delicious, arousing noises, and he wasn't the only one affected. Other men watched, as transfixed by the sight as Micah was. Lust blazed in their eyes. They wanted her, but so did he. Oh, yeah, so did he. He started forward again, his entire concentration on her, on the man making her writhe beneath the whip. Cole looked up as Micah neared, and he paused, whip held high in the air. And then, as if sensing his approach, the woman turned her head and opened her eyes. Liquid heat exploded through his body. Her eyes were so expressive, so bright with passion, and she didn't look away once their gazes collided. He could drown in those dark pools. Her lips trembled,
and for a moment he sensed deep vulnerability, a fact that made him suddenly fiercely possessive. No, he couldn't look away any more than she could, and he waited for what he wanted, acceptance. Her small pink tongue flicked out, licking over her lips in a sudden, almost nervous motion. And then she nodded, need firing in her eyes. Cole reached out to touch her shoulder, and it was all Micah could do not to react violently. He didn't want Cole or anyone else touching her. She was his for this moment.
"Are you sure?" Cole said in a low voice only she and Micah could hear.
Her gaze flickered, and she turned briefly to look at Cole. Again she nodded, and her eyes flashed as she refocused her attention on Micah. Those lips. God, those lips. He was dying to taste them, and suddenly he knew he had to. Even as he took the whip Cole extended and stepped forward, his movements were jerky and urgent. He cupped her jaw in one hand, slid his fingers over the softness of her cheek, then slanted his lips over hers and took them hungrily. He swallowed her gasp. Her taste exploded onto his tongue as he swept it over her mouth, inward, stroking deep, sweet, warm, soft like a woman should taste. Her tongue met his, boldly tasting him in return. Hot and wet, they dueled, neither backing down. An electric current raced up his spine, ricocheted off the base of his skull and sizzled over his nerve endings like a bolt of lightning. Starved for air, he yanked himself away, his breaths coming in quick, jerky pants. She stared at him in wonder and swayed against the bonds holding her hands. He took one step back and slowly circled until he stared at the slim column of her spine.
"Dance for me."
The whip uncoiled and then came alive, arcing and then landing with a sharp crack. A glow rose on her skin, and her erotic moan hovered, sweet and arousing. The room quieted, and her soft cries grew louder, more frequent. Moans, sighs, a woman on the verge of climax. She captivated him, mesmerized by the sight of her reacting to his whip, his touch, his command. She excited him on a primitive level. She touched him in places that hadn't felt warmth in a long time. He didn't understand it, but he latched onto it like a man starving. The whip coiled and snapped, hissing and then landing, the welt rising on her skin. She rose up on tiptoe, her body straining even as she arched her back, waiting, wanting another lash. The muscles in her slender arms rippled, and her fingers splayed out, stretching and then curling into her fists again. Faster, she moved in time with the lashes, dancing an erotic rhythm that held the room in thrall. Race to release. Micah watched in fascination as he worked her into a heated frenzy. The last lash fell just as a cry of sweet ecstasy burst from deep inside her. The sound was primal and beautiful, and it instilled an ache in his gut that extended to his balls. He was painfully erect, his cock bulging against the zipper of his jeans. He wanted nothing more than to shove his pants down and bury his cock between her ass cheeks. He wanted her ass, her pussy, her mouth. He wanted this woman. No longer able to keep from touching her, he ran his fingers over the thin welts crisscrossing her back. She moaned softly, leaning into his caress. He smoothed his palms up her back and then under her arms and down her sides. Wanting to look into her eyes, to see her again, he walked around her, letting his hand trail over her skin until his fingers rested on her belly and he stood over her.
"Look at me," he said huskily.
He lifted his hand to her chin, tilted it up so her gaze met his.
"You're so beautiful."
Her lips curved upward in a tremulous smile, and he traced the fullness of her bottom lip with his thumb. He dropped his head to hers, their mouths touching. He paused, taking it slower this time, wanting to savor her sweetness.
"I want you. I want you so much it's killing me."
His voice was hoarse and needy, but he didn't care. He only knew if he didn't have this woman he'd go crazy. He reached up to untie her hands, and when they were free, she faltered, her knees buckling. He caught her to him, her body melting into his. She felt so damn good, and his zipper was trying to brand a permanent tattoo on his dick. Wanting to feel the silk of her hair, he dragged his hand through it, enjoying the sensation of it sliding through his fingers.
"Will you come home with me?"
he murmured.
His lips were just centimeters from hers. Her breath blew over his face, and he inhaled. She stared back at him, desire warming her eyes.
He tucked a long strand of her hair behind her ear, and his thumb snagged on the mask.
He wanted to see her, wanted to know more about this woman he was determined to possess tonight.
She uttered a sharp protest and raised her hands to grip his, all the while shaking her head in mute denial. She tried to turn away, but the mask slipped and caught in her hair. A strangled sound erupted from her throat and she hastily backed away, but not before he saw her features. Shock hit him square in the balls.
He was going to be sick.
Angel, David's sister.
Dear God, what had he done?
She stared back at him, frozen, her eyes wide and almost frightened. The beautiful naked woman standing in front of him was quickly replaced by images of Angelina at 16. Innocent, with a dazzling, flirtatious smile, the kind that a kid wore when she thought the world was hers on a silver platter. He couldn't conjure an image of her older. She was stuck as that 16-year-old kid.
How old was she now, anyway?
David's sister. God damn it! Fury quickly replaced his utter disbelief.
Angelina! What the fuck?
Chapter 2 Micah grabbed Angelina's shoulders and pulled her close to him to shield her from view, but that was damn near impossible with a room full of people and her bare-assed naked. He yanked his head around, looking for something, anything, to cover her with.
Where are your goddamn clothes?
Micah, stop! She protested.
The shock of hearing her speak momentarily halted him. The slightly accented speech reminded him so damn much of David. Her voice was huskier than it was when she was younger. Sexier. Fuck. He shook his head and resumed his search, his gaze lighting on a discarded sheet from one of the beds. It would do. Dragging her with him, he strode over to snatch the sheet from the floor. He draped it over her shoulders and then wrapped it completely around her, holding the ends as he looked for an escape route.
Micah, stop! What are you doing?
There was a spark of anger in her brown eyes, but he ignored that. She could be pissed all she wanted, but he was getting her the hell out of here. Now that she was at least covered, he herded her along the edge of the room toward the door. They entered the hallway that led to the stairs, and he all but dragged her down the staircase and into the hall leading to the front entrance.
"Where are you taking me?" she asked.
There was trust in her tone, and it pissed him off more than finding her here. He'd just flogged her, seen her naked, lusted over, touched her. For God's sake! This never should have happened. He hated himself, but he was angrier with her. She shouldn't be here. She shouldn't even know places like this existed.
Out of here, he said gruffly. Not another word until I get you home. I swear, Angelina, I don't know what the hell you thought you were doing, but it ends right here, right now.
One of Damon's burly security men stepped in front of the door and folded his beefy arms over his chest as he stared belligerently at Micah.
God damn it, Mav, get out of the way,
Micah swore.
Micah, what the fuck are you doing?
Micah turned around to see his good friend and the owner of the house, Damon Roche, striding down the hall from his office. He sighed, irritated with the interruption. He kept a firm grip on Angelina's arm while he waited for Damon to say his piece.
Well?
Damon asked when he stopped a few feet away. His eyes were narrowed, the classic Damon annoyed expression, but he didn't say anything further. He merely pinned Micah with an expectant stare and waited.
Well, fucking what?
Damon made a move toward Angelina, and Micah pulled her back. The sheet slid down over her shoulders, but she held the ends tightly around her breasts. Her hair was pulled around and hung down one side, and Micah could see the marks, his marks, on her back, and the knot grew bigger in his gut. He yanked the sheet back up, covering the bare expanse of her skin as if that would somehow erase what had happened just minutes before.
"You want to tell me what the hell you're doing?" Damon demanded. "Jesus Christ, Micah! Have you lost your mind? Let her go, now!"
Micah scowled at the challenge in Damon's voice. Mav took a step forward and reached for Angelina. It didn't matter that Damon and Mav were obviously trying to protect Angelina.
"Don't you fucking touch her!"
Mav looked to Damon for guidance, and Damon held his hand up to stay his security man.
You can't come in here, grab one of my club members. Hell, You can't pull this shit here with anyone, member or not, and drag her out of here against her will. What's come over you, Micah?
Micah glanced at Angelina and wondered why the hell she was being so quiet. She hadn't said much more than a few words. He couldn't even conjure guilt over the notion that she was unwilling. She sure as hell hadn't been unwilling when she'd given him that sultry invitation with those deep brown eyes. Christ, she'd had him whip her. He wanted to puke.
This is a private matter between me and Angelina, Micah said.
I'm not letting you leave here with her, Damon said calmly.
Angelina put her hand on Damon's arm. It looked small and dainty in comparison, and all Micah could think was that those hands had been tied together while he marked her naked body.
It's all right, Damon, she said in a low voice.
She trembled in Micah's grip, and he loosened his hold. His gaze dropped over her arm to make sure there were no marks from his fingers. He'd done enough damage for one night. Now he just wanted to get her out of this place as fast as humanly possible.
"Do you know Micah, Angelina?" Damon asked, his expression skeptical. "You don't have to go with him, friend of mine or not. My first responsibility is to my members here. I wouldn't allow any woman to be manhandled as Micah has done you."
"Member?"
Micah bit out. "Are you telling me Angelina is a goddamn member?"
He looked to her for confirmation, but she wouldn't look at him. She was staring at Damon, her expression calm.
"I know him," she said simply. "He won't hurt me. He's angry because he doesn't understand."
"Understand?" His head was going to explode. "I understand that I'm getting you the hell out of this place, and under no circumstances are you to ever set foot in here again."
He glared at Damon as he said the last,
"and I expect you to see to it." "What's going on here?" Damon demanded. "This isn't like you, Micah. I won't let you walk out of here until one of you provides me with an acceptable explanation."
"She's David's sister!"
Damon's eyes flickered as understanding dawned.
"I see."
Micah made a sound of disgust.
"No, you don't see. Christ, Damon, you're letting teenagers in here now?"
Angelina turned to him, one finely arched eyebrow creeping upward.
"I'm 23 years old, Micah, hardly a teenager. Certainly not in need of a babysitter, though you seem keen to sign up for the job."
He stared back at her in disbelief. Confusion jacked through his mind like a buzzsaw. 23? How had she gotten from a 16-year-old to a woman of 23? Had it really been so long? How could he have lost so many years?
"At least let her dress," Damon said quietly. "There's no need to take her out like this. I'll send Maverick up for her clothing."
Then he glanced at Angelina.
"Do you want to leave with him, Angelina? I'll be more than happy to provide a ride home for you. I can arrange for one of my men to take your car home." "She's leaving with me," Micah growled. "Now, if we can dispense with the chit-chat, I'd like us to be on our way."
Damon motioned for Maverick to go upstairs to retrieve her clothes, and then he reached for Angelina's hand.
"You can change in there," he said, pointing to one of the rooms a few feet away.
She looked expectantly toward Micah and then dropped her gaze pointedly to his hand on her arm. Grudgingly, he let it fall away. As Damon opened the door, Maverick appeared holding Angelina's clothes. Clutching the sheet tightly around her with one hand, she took the jeans, shirt, and shoes and disappeared into the room. Damon immediately rounded on Micah.
"I don't care what your problems are in the future. Don't ever let something like this happen again."
Micah ground his lips together and tried to hold his temper in check.
"I'm going to assume you had no idea who Angelina was when you gave her membership."
Damon's eyebrow went up.
"There are a few things you need to remember, Micah. This is my club. You don't vet my members. You don't make the decisions. And you sure as hell don't take advantage of your membership here. Angelina is an adult. She was reviewed just like any other person applying for membership here." "Did you know who she was?"
Damon sighed.
"Of course not, Micah. How the hell would I? You've only told me cursory details of your friendship with David and the unique relationship you and David both shared with Hannah. I'm not even sure you ever told me what David's last name was, so how on earth would I associate a beautiful young woman named Angelina Moyano with your past?"
Micah sighed.
"You're right. I'm sorry, man."
He dragged a hand through his hair and shook his head in disbelief. He was still reeling from the shock of the whole fucking night. Damon looked skeptically at him.
"Can I trust you to see her home, or do I need to take care of it?" Micah scowled. "When the hell have I ever been a threat to a woman?
She's coming with me because she and I have a hell of a lot to discuss. Namely, what she's doing here in Houston. Why she didn't come to me before now, and what the fuck she's doing here allowing men to see her naked, to touch her and mark her.
He shook his head again, too furious to continue.
God damn it, Damon. I was the one who flogged her. I lusted over her from the time I walked into that room. I kissed her. I touched her, and then I marked her. I asked her to come home with me because I wanted to fuck her. And then the damn mask came off, and I'm staring at David's kid sister. David would roll over in his grave if he had any idea what I did.
Damon's mouth twisted in sympathy. Try to remember she's not the teenager you have set in your mind. She's a woman now, a stunning woman who's obviously in charge of her sexuality.
Micah made a strangled sound that got stuck in his throat. It was all he could do not to childishly cover his ears and eyes. Fuck me.
Damon laughed, then clapped a hand on Micah's shoulder. The door opened and Angelina stepped into the hallway, her eyes hooded and wary as she stared back at Micah. As beautiful as she was naked, she looked just as gorgeous fully clothed. Her jeans rode low on her hips, hugging every curve all the way down. She wore a simple sleeveless tank that showed a hint of the outline of her nipples and fit her slim waist like a glove.
"So, where are you taking me?" she asked.
The question was asked innocently enough, but there was still enough reserve in her expression that he knew she was uneasy. He worked to remove his scowl, but he finally gave up. She needed to know just how stupid she'd been for coming in here, and he wasn't in the mood to soothe any feathers he may have ruffled. He grabbed her hand, irritated with the way her slight fingers curled trustingly around his.
"Where I'm taking you is home, my place. You and I are going to have a long talk."
Chapter 3 Angelina glanced over at Micah as he roared into the parking lot of his apartment complex. Of course it wouldn't have occurred to him to take her to where she was staying. He wanted to bawl her out on his turf. She had to suppress a smile as he turned to her, his scowl still in place. It wasn't as if she hadn't expected stiff resistance. He was Micah, after all, and it would take more than one night to make him see her as anything other than David's little sister.
"Inside," he directed as he opened his door.
Angelina reached for the handle and hopped out of his truck before he could come around to collect her. She met his gaze evenly, and his scowl deepened as he clasped her elbow and guided her toward the building. At the door, he fumbled with the keys, shoved it open, and herded her inside. He flipped the lights on, and she blinked as she glanced around. The place looked so sterile and uninviting, as if no one really lived here. It reminded her of her own hotel room, where she lived out of a suitcase and never made herself at home. It wasn't the Micah she was used to. She'd spent a lot of happy hours at his, David's, and Hannah's house. But then Hannah had made it that way. Her mouth drooped, and she wiped at it in an attempt to remove the unhappiness that arose when she thought of David and Hannah. Micah dropped his keys on the coffee table, then spun her around to meet his gaze.
"Now suppose you tell me what the fuck is going on here, Angel."
She smiled at his use of the nickname he'd given her. Butterflies danced in her stomach until she was left with a queasy sensation. How much to tell him? What was she supposed to say?
"I'm running, Micah, to you. I need you. I love you. I'm scared. I love you. I want you to love me, too."
None of it seemed like a good idea. She sounded desperate and not in control, and the last thing she wanted to do was face Micah with any disadvantage.
"Why are you so angry?" she asked in an effort to
diffuse some of the explosive tension. His jaw twitched suspiciously.
"Okay, let me start with the basics here."
He dropped his hand from her elbow and began counting off on his fingers.
1. What the hell were you doing in the house? 2. Why didn't you immediately divulge your identity when I walked up? 3. What are you doing in Houston? 4. Why didn't you tell me you were in town? 5. The coincidence of you showing up at the same club I frequent is staggering. I don't believe for a moment you didn't know you'd see me, which brings me back to 1.
"Wow, just wow, Micah."
She trembled with anger. Her fingers curled into fists at her sides as hurt and an old sense of betrayal washed through her all over again. No longer able to keep eye contact with him, she turned sharply, her chest heaving. It was more difficult than she thought. She wanted to lash out at him, ask him why he'd left her.
He turned her around again, cupped her chin in his hand, and forced her to look at him.
"This can't come as a surprise to you, Angel. How did you think I'd react? Don't look at me with those hurt eyes and play the victim here."
She tried to step away, but he held her firm.
"Tell me something, Micah. If the mask had stayed on, would you have taken me home and had sex with me?" she taunted. "You wanted me. You can't deny it."
His eyes blazed with a mixture of heat and anger, as though he remembered all too well his reaction. They were interrupted by a knock on the door. Micah scowled and then shot her a warning stare.
"Don't move."
She shrugged and watched him walk away. A sigh escaped, and her shoulders slumped downward. Damn it. None of this had gone the way she'd planned. She hadn't intended him to find out her identity the way he had. Maybe the idea had been stupid, but she'd wanted to make him see the woman she was before she revealed her identity. A moment later he returned, her keys jingling in his hand. He slapped them down on the coffee table next to his.
"Damon had your car brought here."
She nodded. He stared at her for a long moment, and then he closed the distance between them, this time turning her away from him. His fingers trailed over her back and pulled at her shirt.
"Are you all right?" he asked quietly. "Did I hurt you badly?"
She sucked in her breath when his palm met her bare flesh and soothed over the welts that still heated her back.
"No, you didn't hurt me," she said huskily.
His hand stilled on her back, and he hastily arranged her shirt. There was too much tension emanating from him. It was thick and unwieldy between them. She turned and, without giving him any warning, pushed into his arms, hugging him tight. He tensed even more, but didn't push her away.
"I missed you so much," she choked out.
"Hell," he muttered as he wrapped his arms around her.
"Why did you leave?"
It burst from her before she could call it back. She rested her forehead on his shoulder, thinking how badly she'd screwed up this entire reunion. He grasped her shoulders and gently pulled her away from him.
"Listen to me, honey. You and I have a lot to discuss. I want you to sit down and talk to me, okay?"
She allowed him to guide her down onto the couch.
"Are you hungry? Thirsty?"
She shook her head. He retreated to an armchair diagonal to the couch and sank down with a heavy sigh. His unruly hair dangled below his ears, and he dragged a hand through the slight curls until it pulled them away from his face. The diamond in his left ear glinted in the light, an earring she'd given him for Christmas. Would he even remember that fact?
"I couldn't stay, Angel. You, of all people, should know that."
"No, I don't know that. Or maybe I do and I'm still angry," she admitted. "I had no one, Micah. You, David, and Hannah were my only family. They died and you left. Can you even try to understand how that made me feel? I was alone, scared to death, and my world had been turned upside down."
"You had the Force," Micah said gruffly. "They never turned their back on family. They would have done anything you needed."
Anger heated her veins and her pulse thrummed fiercely.
"Would they? They all thought David betrayed you, that he was leaving with your wife when they had their accident. They weren't lining up to offer me anything. To them I was the sister of the cop who betrayed another cop, and I couldn't tell them any different. I couldn't tell them the truth about what Hannah was to both of you because then I would have been betraying you."
He stared at her, his eyes raw with regret.
"God, Angel, I'm sorry. I won't lie. I wasn't even thinking about you or how it must have looked when David and Hannah died together. I just had to go or go crazy. I couldn't stay there after losing them both. I never thought."
He closed his eyes.
"I never meant to hurt you, Angel. You're David's sister. I should have taken care of you, protected you. How did you..."
His voice cracked.
"How did you make it? What did you do?"
She blew out her breath. "I didn't intend to make this a guilt fest, Micah. What's done is done. I survived. I was angry and hurt, maybe more than I thought. Seeing you again brought it all back. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have blurted it out like that." She stood, rubbing her hands down her pant legs.
"I should go. It's late."
He rose abruptly, his eyes flashing ominously.
"We aren't finished, Angel. Not by a long shot. You still haven't told me what you're doing here, why you were at the house, and what the hell you were doing naked in front of all those damn people."
She smiled faintly as she watched the tension creep back into his face. Despite the fact that he'd abdicated any responsibility toward her, He seemed suddenly gripped by the urge to protect her from all the big bad wolves out there. Only he was the biggest, baddest wolf, and she didn't want to be protected from him.
"I think it's best if we don't discuss that," she said in an even tone.
His mouth gaped open and then his lips snapped together in anger. "You don't get to decide what we do and don't discuss. You're not going anywhere until you give me some answers, baby doll."
It made her positively quivery when he got authoritative. She'd always loved that about him, his alpha-take-charge attitude. She craved him and that power, had been drawn to it since before she understood what exactly it was that attracted her to him. Part of her wanted to acquiesce, to offer her submission and give herself over to his keeping. Only she knew better than to think it was what he wanted from her. Oh, she knew he wanted her obedience, but he wanted the obedience of a child, not of the woman she was. He was bent on seeing her as the teenage sister of his best friend, a friend he'd shared the woman he'd married with. "I'm well aware that you're a man used to getting your way, but this time I'm afraid you're destined for disappointment. You wouldn't like my answer anyway, so it's better to end tonight on a more positive note."
He stared at her in utter disbelief. When she started to move toward the door, he stepped in front of her, his eyes narrowed to slits.
"Oh, hell no, Angel Girl. That isn't the way things are going to work. You have a hell of a lot to answer for."
"I don't answer to you, Micah," she said evenly. "You don't want anything from me. You're not ready to offer me anything. When that changes, we'll talk."
She glimpsed his astonishment as she scooped up her keys and headed for the door.
"Angel, damn it!"
She opened the door and hurried into the night, ignoring his command for her to get her ass back inside. She didn't stop until she got to her car, and she refused to look up, knowing she'd see Micah standing there. Doors locked, she cranked the engine and backed from the parking spot as Micah pounded on her window. With a quick glance in his direction to make sure she wasn't going to hit him, she accelerated out of the lot and left him standing in the dark, staring after her.
Chapter 4 Angelina let herself into her hotel room and tossed her keys onto the bed. The interior was dark and somewhat gloomy, with only a dully lit lamp to offer illumination. It certainly wasn't the best of accommodations, but this would be the last place someone would look for her. At least she hoped. She trudged into the bathroom and turned the hot water on in the sink. A shower would feel good, but she didn't want to erase Micah's touch or to relieve the slight heat that was still present from his whip. She washed her face, brushed her hair, and pulled it back into a ponytail. A glance in the mirror told her she looked tired, hollow-eyed and worried. She stripped out of her clothes, left them on the floor of the bathroom, and walked nude back to where her suitcase lay on the bed. She shoved it off, not bothering to pull on a shirt. Bed was calling her name, and she didn't waste any time answering. She lay on her belly, letting the draft from the rattling air conditioner blow over her back. Dreamily, she closed her eyes and relived those moments before Micah discovered who she was, when for a while she'd been his to command. He'd wanted her desperately. She'd seen the lust in his eyes, felt the tremble of his hands on her flesh. The barely restrained power she'd sensed boiling within him had been like a drug to her, addictive, alluring, intoxicating. She'd known how it would be with Micah, and it seemed she'd spent most of her life waiting and wanting. She'd entertained herself with vivid fantasies of him capturing her, of him forcing her to his will, his possession. She shivered, her belly clenching as she remembered every single sound he'd made, his breathing, his words, his lips on hers, his taste, how he felt. Longing didn't begin to cover the magnitude of her feelings. She needed him as she'd never needed anyone else. David and Hannah were family. David was her brother, and Hannah was as much a sister to her as she could be. But Micah? From the beginning, she'd separated Micah into a whole different category, one forbidden to her but no less tempting. If it would bring David and Hannah back, she'd give up any hope of having Micah. Micah had loved Hannah deeply, and as much as Angelina herself loved Micah, she'd stand on the outside looking in forever if it meant having her family again. But they were gone. She and Micah were left. She knew him like no one else did. She knew his secrets, his desires, the man behind the easygoing facade. She could give him what he needed, but But would he ever decide she was what he wanted?
No guarantees in life, Angel baby,
she whispered, smiling sadly as David's words floated from her lips. A sound at her window made her freeze. Then she laughed and buried her face in her pillow. What a jumpy moron she was. She was on the fourth floor of a shabby hotel. Who'd be at her window? Spider-Man? She had to quit flinching at shadows and looking over her shoulder at every turn. Okay, so maybe continuing to look over her shoulder was a good idea. She couldn't afford to be too careless, even though she knew she'd covered her tracks well. She hadn't lived in a cop household for years not to learn anything about stealth and evading. There was no reason for anyone to know she was here. She ditched her car, bought another under an assumed name, used cash, and no one in Houston apart from Damon Roche and Micah Hudson knew what her real name was. Tomorrow she'd start her job search. Thanks to her Hispanic heritage, she could pose as an illegal immigrant and get a job that paid under the table. She had funds stashed, but she couldn't afford to lean on those unless absolutely necessary. And God willing, it wouldn't be necessary. She could start a new life here. Nothing was left for her in Miami. Micah never needed to know about her problems. She didn't want him to be with her for any other reason than she was what he wanted. Chapter 5 Angelina woke with a strong sense of purpose. She dressed and was out of the hotel early, just as the sun crept over the horizon. Determined to get her job situation squared away as soon as possible, she hit the cafes in walking distance of the hotel, and at the third she scored a job as a waitress. The manager generously offered to let her work for tips only, and she could take what she earned home in cash each night. It wasn't ideal, but it could be a lot worse. She was friendly and outgoing, and she wasn't afraid of hard work. After arranging her schedule, she went back to the hotel and dialed Damon Roche's number at the house. One of his employees said he wasn't in, but he was expected within the hour. She hung up and collected her keys. By the time she got over there, she wouldn't have long to wait. She took her time, stopping in a drive-thru for breakfast. When she drove up the winding paved drive of the house, an hour had passed. Hopefully Damon would be in by now. She wanted to smooth any ruffled feathers and figure out where she stood. While her cursory investigation into Micah's life in Houston had revealed his membership at the house, she hadn't realized he and Damon were friends. She'd be lucky if she was ever allowed back in again. Micah had probably already screeched at Damon beyond his explosion the night before. She parked close to the entrance, noting that there were only two other cars in the designated parking area, one of which was the slick-looking BMW. Damon's? She hoped so. She got out and strode to the door to ring the bell. Within a few seconds, the door opened, and she was greeted by a plain-faced gentleman who peered inquisitively at her. "I'm here to see Damon Roche," she said.
"Do you have an appointment?"
She blinked. "Well, no. I called earlier and was told he'd be in. Can you tell him Angelina Moyano would like to talk to him?"
He gestured for her to come inside, and she followed him into a luxurious sitting room.
"I'll see if Mr. Roche is willing to meet with you," he said politely.
She nodded and sank into the sumptuous leather couch. She studied the room while he was gone, taking in the tasteful decor. Everything about the house spoke of refinement and elegance. No matter what went on behind closed doors, there was a distinct air of class. It was hard to feel cheap or tawdry in such a place, and maybe that was the point.
"Angelina," Damon said as he strode through the doorway.
He stopped in front of her, his expression inquiring.
"You wish to speak with me?"
She rose to stand before him, warming to the spark of authority in his voice. This, too, is a man well used to being in charge.
"Yes, please," she said, trying to keep the uncertainty from her voice.
He held out a hand to touch her arm.
"Come into my office. Would you like coffee or juice?"
She shook her head and followed him down the hall and into a spacious office that oozed raw masculinity.
"Have a seat," he said, as he walked around the desk to his chair.
He sat and leaned back, studying her with his deep brown eyes. A wide gold band circled his ring finger, surprising her. Why, she wasn't sure, but the idea that he had a wife seemed odd. Did she mind his ownership of a place where sex was as common as drinking water?
"What can I do for you, Angelina?"
She grimaced, twisting her mouth into a rueful smile.
"I wanted to know if my membership was still valid." His fingers formed a triangle, the tips coming together to rest against his bottom lip as he continued to stare levelly at her.
Is there any reason it shouldn't be?
Let's not pretend you aren't friends with Micah. Guy's code and all that. I've witnessed the biggest boys' club in the world when my brother and Micah were on the police force.
Yes, we're friends.
Are you pissed that I withheld that I knew him during my application process?
Damon sighed.
What are you really asking, Angelina? If you want to know if Micah has demanded I bar you from the premises, one, he doesn't have the right to demand anything, friendship notwithstanding, and two, I haven't heard a word from him since last night.
Then I'm welcome here?
Damon nodded. She started to rise, but something in his expression stopped her.
Can I ask you something, Angelina? It's strictly personal, and you shouldn't feel obligated to answer. It won't affect your standing here. But as I stated, Mike and I are friends. He's told me about David and Hannah.
Her eyes widened in surprise.
Yes, I know, he said quietly. Why are you here? I've never seen Micah anything but in control, and last night you managed to completely unhinge him. I can't help but think it was intentional on your part.
Slowly she nodded.
His eyes narrowed angrily. What game are you playing? I don't want him hurt.
Neither do I, she said evenly. I'm the last person who would ever hurt him.
One eyebrow rose, and understanding fired in his eyes.
Are you sure you know what you're doing?
She raised her hands, palms up.
That's the million-dollar question, she murmured. I can give Michael what he needs. I understand him better than anyone else.
But does he understand you? He asked gently.
Her lips tightened.
He doesn't see me. He doesn't know me. But he will. He will.
Damon studied her another moment.
Are you okay, Angelina? Is there anything you need? Are you here in Houston permanently, or will you be going back to Miami?
I'm fine, she said quietly, and there's nothing left in Miami for me. Everything I want, I need, is here.
I see. Then I wish you well, and I'd ask that if there's anything you need to come to me. Micah can be hard, as I'm sure you well know. You have a difficult task in front of you. I don't want to see you or him hurt.
She held on to her smile, willing it not to fall as she rose. She hadn't allowed any doubt to creep in and take hold, and by God, she wouldn't do it now.
Thank you, she said sincerely. It's always nice to know there are people I can count on. You can never have enough of those.
Micah stalked into Malone & Son's security and grunted an acknowledgement at Connor as he passed him in the hallway. Usually he'd amble into Faith's office, where everyone gathered for coffee in the mornings, but today he wasn't fit company for a viper, much less people he cared about. Once in his office, he closed the door and paced back and forth in front of the window. He stopped to stare broodingly out the blinds, his mind about to blow.
Where the fuck was she? Where had she come from? And why the hell had he let her just walk out of his apartment? Of all the stupid stunts he'd pulled, this one had to take the cake. She'd knocked him so hard on his ass that he hadn't found out even the most basic information. Like where she was staying. Was she here, visiting? Was she thinking of moving? Whoa. And then there was the fact that she'd come on to him like a tornado. Okay. So maybe she hadn't exactly come on to him. Technically, he'd made the moves, but she damn sure hadn't done anything to stop him. And that was what was burning a hole in his head this morning.
Why?
He hadn't mistaken her responsiveness. She'd given herself to him as sweetly as any woman ever had. She'd gone quiet and supple underneath his touch. She'd taken everything he'd given, and would have given him more, a whole lot more. Seeing her had been a big enough surprise. Seeing her naked with his marks on her body had been a huge what-the-fuck moment.
He wearily ran a hand through his hair and closed his eyes. He hadn't slept. How could he? Angelina was here. With her, she'd brought back a lot of memories that he'd purposely left behind in Miami. Even though he went back each year, every time he left it all behind and took none of his baggage back to Houston. He liked it that way. It was how he dealt with it all. Only now his past was staring him straight in the face in the form of a challenge he had no inkling of. What did she want from him? The idea of her being in Houston, young and alone, burned a hole in his gut. David had always been hugely protective of her. They'd lost their parents when Angelina was a kid, and David was barely out of high school.
David had been brother, mother, and father to her, and later Hannah had taken on the role of mother figure even though only 5 years separated the girls in age.
Girl, hell, Angelina was no girl now. He only wished he didn't have first-hand knowledge of that fact.
He frowned. David and Hannah had taken an almost parental view of Angelina. Well, maybe not parental as much as they both viewed her as a younger sibling. How had he seen her? It had appalled him that he was seeing David's sister, naked, touching her, kissing her, but he'd never looked at her as his sister.
Beautiful young girl.
Yes, too young for him, at the time, 16 to his 28. But now she was 23 and the age difference didn't seem as vast.
Jesus Christ, are you actually trying to rationalize this?
Now he was talking to himself. Just great.
First things first. He had to put aside the dissection of what had happened. He needed to forget it had happened and focus on the important details, like where she was and if she needed help. His door opened, and he turned to see Nathan Tucker stick his head in.
Hey, man, Papa's here and is ready to start the morning meeting. You in?
Nathan looked curiously at him, and Micah didn't blame him. Usually Micah was the first one to saunter into Faith's office, offer a kiss, snag some coffee, and preferably the first donut.
He gave a short nod. I'm coming.
Nathan retreated but left the door open, thinking he might as well get it over with. Micah followed him down to Faith's office. He didn't miss the curious stares thrown his way as he walked in and took a position against the wall beside Faith's desk.
Morning, Faith said with a smile.
He softened, despite his dour mood, and returned her smile.
Morning, baby doll.
Though her gaze was inquisitive, she didn't say anything. He shot her a look of gratitude.
Well, if we're all here now, can we get this show on the road?
Pop's grizzled voice rose in the otherwise quiet room, and he stared pointedly at Micah as he spoke. Micah listened half-heartedly to the division of jobs and duties. He was too busy thinking about Angelina and how the fuck he was going to find her. How stupid of him was it to just let her go without knowing a thing about her circumstances? He almost raised his fingers and snapped them as it occurred to him that Damon might know. Of course, she had to have undergone a rigorous screening before she was given membership to the house.
Don't let us keep you, Pop said dryly.
Micah blinked and snapped his attention back to the older man. Connor, Gray, and Nathan were all staring at him with open curiosity. Faith's look was more sympathetic, while Pop's eyes were full of amusement.
Late night, son?
Pop asked.
Micah grunted.
No. Yes. Sorta. Well, hell, make up your mind, preferably on the way to the job.
Pop thrust an invoice toward Micah.
You're on your own today, and it looks like that's probably a good thing. Don't look much like decent company if you ask me.
Micah bit back the obscenities he wanted to blister the world with and took the paper. With a glance in Faith's direction and a quick wave, he started after the others. In the hallway, Nathan hung back until Micah caught up with him.
Hey, man, everything okay with you? Yeah, fine.
Nathan shrugged, and the two exited the office building into the parking lot.
Want me to ride along with you? Nathan offered. I finished up my job, so I'm pretty free this morning.
Micah paused at his truck.
I appreciate the offer, but as Pop said, I'm not decent company.
He glanced down at the invoice. Simple installation. Shouldn't take but 2 hours tops, and Nathan would still have time to spend the rest of the day with his girl, Julie, if he wanted.
Hey, would you do me a favor and take this job? There's something I need to do.
Nathan's eyebrow went up in surprise.
Well, okay. I can do that. Thanks. I wouldn't ask, but it's important.
Nathan took the piece of paper Micah extended toward him and hesitated.
Everything okay with you? Yeah, fine. Just something I have to take care of.
Nathan nodded, folded the sheet, and headed toward his truck. Micah climbed into his own truck and pulled out his cell. It was nice to have friends. Good friends who'd do anything for you and not ask questions. He'd had that kind of friendship with David, and he'd been lucky enough to find it again with the guys he worked with at Malone & Sons. As he drove out of the parking lot, he hit Damon's private number on speed dial.
Where are you? He asked bluntly when Damon answered. I'm heading to my downtown office, Damon replied. Is something wrong? I'll meet you there in half an hour, Micah said and closed his phone.
He navigated the mid-morning traffic and parked outside the downtown high-rise 25 minutes later. On the elevator ride to the top floor, he tapped his foot impatiently. Of course Damon would have the best of everything. Best offices, best view, expensive-ass furnishings, and he'd probably be waiting with some refined highbrow alcohol. Micah ignored Damon's secretary and headed into Damon's office. He gave one polite knock but didn't wait for a response. Damon didn't bother to rise, though just as Micah had predicted, there was a glass filled with amber stuff waiting on the edge of the polished desk. Micah sat but didn't reach for the drink. Damon surveyed him calmly and waited. Micah wasn't used to this uncertainty, to second-guessing his decisions, to the absolute knowledge that he'd royally fucked up.
"Christ," Micah muttered. "I fucked up, Damon."
Still, Damon waited, only responding with a lift of one eyebrow.
"I need any info you have on Angelina."
"I think you know I can't do that."
"Let me rephrase. I don't need personal information. I need to know where I can find her. It's important. I don't like the idea of her being in Houston alone, staying God knows where. I let her walk out of my apartment last night, and now I don't know where to find her. I don't know if she's okay, if she needs anything."
"She seemed well this morning when I saw her," Damon said.
Micah surged forward. "Where did you see her?"
"She came to see me at the house, early."
"What the hell was she seeing you about?"
Damon just stared back, his expression unreadable.
Micah cursed again. "Okay, so you won't tell me that. At least tell me where I can find her." "Damn it, Damon, I'm worried about her. I just need to make sure she's taken care of. I owe David that much."
"Interesting that you feel you owe David but not Angelina herself."
"Don't fucking play psychologist with me, man. Pisses me off."
"Only because I made a valid point," Damon said in an amused tone.
"Look, she's David's little sister. Hannah mothered her."
"And you?" Damon asked.
"She was David's sister," he said as if that explained all things.
"And didn't it?" Damon chuckled.
"In other words, you never saw her, and now suddenly you do."
"No, the hell I don't see her," he answered fiercely.
It was a stone-cold lie, and they both knew it. Micah closed his eyes and shook his head.
"How did she know, Damon? How the hell did she know that I'd respond to her bound and naked, begging for the kiss of the whip?"
"I'd say she knows a lot more about you than you do about her."
"No shit," he muttered. "Tell me where I can find her, Damon. You sure as hell wouldn't let me get away with not telling you something where Serena is concerned."
Damon scowled, and Micah knew he'd scored a hit.
"Hell," Damon bit out. "Tell me," Micah persisted.
Damon sighed and opened his laptop.
"I can only give you whatever she put on her application. Don't ask for anything else. I won't give it."
Micah shrugged. As long as he found her, she could damn well tell him the rest. After a few moments of clicking, Damon raised his head.
"She's staying at the Starlight Motel. No address given."
"Never heard of it," Micah said with a frown as he rose. "Thanks, though. I'll call 411 to get the address on my way out."
"Hey, Micah," Damon said when Micah was almost to the door.
Micah paused and turned around.
"Take it easy. Don't go in with both barrels blazing, okay?"
Micah gave a dry chuckle. "Yeah, I'll try."
Chapter 6. Just when he thought he couldn't get any more pissed off, Micah pulled into the parking lot of the Starlight Motel and stared in disgust at the run-down four-story building. He thought the directions were bogus when he'd entered the seedy, dangerous-looking area, or at least he'd hoped they were. He slammed the truck door shut and stalked toward the motel office, noting more than one broken pane on the windows of the rooms. What the hell did she think she was doing staying in a place like this? The clerk at the desk gave him a bored look when Micah entered.
"Angelina Moyano," Micah said tersely. "Which room?"
The clerk didn't so much as blink or attempt to move from his slouched position in his chair.
"Don't have anyone here by that name."
"How the hell would you know?" Micah demanded. "You haven't even looked."
The clerk raised a paper cup and spit a stream of tobacco into it.
"Hotel ain't full. I'd know if someone by that name was booked in here."
Micah held his temper in check, barely.
"Curvy Hispanic girl, long dark hair, very pretty, brown eyes, about this tall."
He held out a hand and indicated a height that came to his shoulder.
Room 417.
Micah couldn't decide whether to be glad the punk had offered up the information so readily or to reach across the counter, yank him up by his shirt, and beat the living hell out of him. But since Angelina wasn't spending another minute in this dump, he wouldn't worry about the potential danger she faced. Not surprisingly, there was an out-of-service sign on the elevator. Muttering under his breath, he climbed four flights of stairs. Finally, at Angelina's door, he paused and stared at the flimsy frame. A good stiff wind would blow it down. He knocked and waited, shoving his hands into his jeans pockets. Several long seconds passed. He couldn't fault her for not answering. In fact, if she'd blindly answered the door, he'd have tanned her little ass. He stepped forward and knocked again.
"Angelina, open the door," he called.
He relaxed when he heard the deadbolt flip. The door creaked open, and he was met with a pair of dark eyes peering out of the 2-inch crack.
"Micah?"
"Yeah, Angel, it's me."
Relief flashed in her eyes as she opened the door wider.
"What are you doing here? How did you know where to find me?"
He shoved in past her, taking in the tiny room.
"Don't act so surprised. You had to know I'd find you after your disappearing act last night."
She closed the door and turned around to face him.
"By all means, come on in."
Against his better judgment, he let his gaze drop down her body. Damn it all to hell. When had she developed such a killer body? He shook his head and focused somewhere else, anywhere but on her.
"What the hell are you doing here?" he demanded. "This place isn't fit for rats, for God's sake."
She shrugged, a tiny, delicate motion that drew attention to the slim column of her neck.
"It was what I could afford."
"Pack your things. We're getting out of here."
When she didn't move to comply with his orders, he went to the bed where her suitcase was opened and things were lying in neat little piles to the side. He tossed everything in the suitcase, then looked around to see if there was anything else he'd missed. Angelina was watching him through narrowed lids, her arms crossed over her chest.
"Not that I don't love having the busy work done for me, but would you mind telling me what the hell you're doing?"
"I think it's obvious. You're getting the hell out of here."
She dropped her arms and took a step toward him, which had him hastily backing up. God, he was acting like a first-rate pussy, but if she touched him, he couldn't be responsible for what happened. His skin tingled in sharp awareness, and hunger, raw and volatile, rose inside his gut. For a moment he saw her as she was the previous night, naked, her skin glowing, her hair sliding like silk over her back.
Christ, but he was going to need to pour bleach into his eyes to rid himself of that image.
"I've seen you twice in the last 24 hours, and each time you seem determined to relocate me. Why is that, Micah?"
He snorted. "That's a dumbass question. I find you in a place devoted to public sex acts. Like I'm not going to have anything to say about that? And now you're in some seedy-ass motel. You'll be lucky if you aren't raped or killed or both in this joint."
"I see. And what is your proposed solution? Send me back to Miami?"
That thought had occurred to him, and he would have certainly suggested it already if he knew why she was here in the first place.
"Why are you here?" he asked as he sat down on the bed.
She lifted one shoulder and glanced away, her eyes flickering with emotion.
"There's nothing left for me in Miami. I thought Houston would make a nice change. I don't know anyone anywhere else. It seemed logical enough to come here."
Where he was. Though it was left unsaid, it was certainly implied.
"Are you in some kind of trouble, Angel girl?" he asked gently.
She gave him a startled look.
"Why would you ask that?"
"Seems like a logical question given your sudden appearance and your reluctance to return to Miami."
She looked pointedly at him.
"You never went back."
He ignored that statement. It made it seem too much like he'd been running from his past. Hadn't he been, though?
"You can stay with me until you find a decent place."
He nearly groaned when he realized what he'd said. So there wasn't another alternative, none that would assure him of her well-being anyway. But the idea that she'd be under his roof, sharing his space, and be a constant reminder of last night.
He was fucked.
She frowned slightly as she studied him.
"You seem less than thrilled at the idea of having me in your place."
"Of course you're going to stay with me. It's not like we haven't lived together before," he said with a half-smile.
Angelina had lived with him, David, and Hannah for nearly a year until she graduated high school. Truth was, he hadn't seen much of her during that year, or maybe he just hadn't been paying attention. She and Hannah had been close, and David had been extremely protective of her. With that many guardians, she sure hadn't needed him to sign on for the job.
You didn't see her.
Damon's words floated back to him. No, he hadn't seen her then, but he sure as hell wasn't suffering that problem now. She stared at him mockingly.
Do you really think me staying with you is such a good idea, when I have no intention of keeping my hands to myself?
He did a double take.
Sure, he hadn't heard her correctly.
She looked cool as a cucumber, her stance relaxed and a mischievous twinkle in her eyes that warmed him to the bone.
Hell, what could he say to that?
Deciding to go with option B, which was to ignore, he loved option B, he finished zipping up her suitcase, then turned back to her as if she'd never said a word about her hands or not keeping them to herself.
Is this everything?
She nodded.
Then let's get the hell out of here. I need a drink.
Or maybe the whole damn bar.
Chapter 7 Angelina was glad to see the last of her hotel. The idea of staying with Micah comforted her way more than she would have liked to admit. But the truth was he made her feel safe. He'd always made her feel safe. Plus, she intended to see him often, and if she was staying with him, she wasn't exactly going to have to work hard at that goal any longer. Now she wouldn't worry about her paranoia about being followed from Miami. She'd no longer be alone. She leaned back against the couch in Micah's living room and let out a small sigh of contentment. Micah eyed her from his perch in the recliner as he pointed the remote at the TV and changed the channel for the 30th time in the last half hour.
What are you looking so happy for?
She raised an eyebrow in his direction.
Suspicious much? I was just thinking that it's nice not to be alone.
For a moment it looked like he was going to say something, but then his lips closed into a firm line. Finally, he lowered the remote and turned his head in her direction.
You aren't alone, Angel, he said gruffly. We'll work it out for you here. You can stay with me until you're on your feet, and then we can find you a good place to live. Have you thought about what you're going to do yet?
Oh, I've got a job already, she said cheerfully.
You do?
She would have thought he'd looked more enthused, given that she was going to be living in his apartment. He looked warily at her as he waited for her to expound.
I picked up a waitressing job that was within walking distance of the hotel. Of course, now I'll have to drive.
Micah was shaking his head before she ever finished.
No, not no, but hell no.
Excuse me?
You heard me. You aren't working in that neighborhood. Christ, Angel, use your head. A gorgeous young girl walking to work in that area? I don't even want you driving. You're just asking for trouble.
She smiled.
Am I?
He looked thoroughly confused.
Are you what?
Gorgeous.
Micah swore and closed his eyes.
Why do you fight your attraction to me so hard?
I am not attracted to you, he muttered.
Liar, she mocked. You may not want to want me, but you do.
Why are you doing this? He demanded.
Don't ask questions you don't want the answer to, Micah.
He opened his mouth and snapped it shut again. He looked frustrated enough to strangle her.
You're right. This isn't something we should be discussing.
Oh, but I'd love to discuss it, she persisted. Even better, I'd love to dispense with conversation altogether and let our bodies do the talking.
You're incorrigible.
Disbelief shadowed his face, and he looked almost bewildered. She smiled.
Don't forget it.
You sidetracked me on purpose, he accused.
She gave him an innocent look.
I don't want you taking that job, Angel. You could find another one close by here, even if it took you a few weeks. You know I'll help you.
I have no doubt you would, she said calmly. I can find a job here if it'll make you feel better.
Relief shone stark on his face. He really had been worried. I'll start looking tomorrow while you're at work. He looked disgruntled for a moment, and she laughed.
Tell me you didn't think you were going to babysit me 24/7.
He glared at her and turned back to the TV.
I think I'll go to bed, she said as she stood.
She stretched lazily, forcing Micah's attention back to her. His gaze was warm on her skin. She walked over to the recliner, and before he could react, she slid onto his lap, dangling her legs over the side of the chair. She wrapped her arms around his neck and pulled him forward to meet her lips. He was as stiff and unyielding as cement. Her tongue flitted out to playfully lave over his closed lips. The nearly violent thud of his pulse signaled that he was definitely not immune to her.
"Kiss me," she whispered. "Forget everything but the fact that there's you and me. Kiss me."
With a tortured groan, he gave in, opening his mouth to take control of the kiss. She melted against him with a deep sigh. Their tongues met in a heated rush, like chocolate melting in the sunshine. Sweet, strong, a little wild. Her fingers rolled and twisted the hair at his nape while his hands rested at the small of her back, his arms across the tops of her thighs. She wanted them to move, wanted him to touch her, to take an active part beyond returning her kiss. But she knew he wouldn't, just as she knew the instant that the moment was over. He yanked away, his breath coming in a ragged gasp. His eyes were wild-looking, the pupils dilated, making his brown eyes appear black.
"No, no," he ground out. "We can't do this, Angel."
Silently, she slid from his lap, gaining her footing with trembling legs. She wouldn't look at him, refused to acknowledge the regret she knew she'd see in his eyes. Never once looking back, she walked stiffly toward her bedroom, her hands fisted at her sides.
"Angel,"
he said in a hoarse, needy voice. She froze and waited, but he didn't call her back. Her shoulders slowly drooping downward, she continued her path to the bedroom. When she was inside, she quietly closed the door behind her. With a dry laugh, she dropped onto the bed. She was probably the first woman Micah had ever said no to. He was a complete and utter pushover when it came to females. He loved them, protected them, and didn't care who knew it. So why couldn't he see her? Why couldn't he love her, desire her, get past the fact that she was David's sister? What she needed was a sledgehammer, and then she could beat some sense into his thick head. There were different kinds of sledgehammers, and she'd have to make do with the metaphorical kind. Micah might not see her, might not want to see her, but he wasn't blind, nor was he immune to her as a woman. She had an edge over most females because she knew what made him tick. Now she just had to use that knowledge to her advantage. Chapter 8.
"So what bug's been up your ass lately, Hudson?"
Gray Montgomery asked. Micah scowled as he handed the menu back to the waitress. He and the other guys from work, Gray Montgomery, Nathan Tucker, and Connor Malone, were at their regular lunch haunt, Cattleman's, only they weren't usually discussing one another's personal business.
"You have been unusually cranky. Not get laid lately?" Connor drawled.
At that, Nathan scowled, since he was still a little touchy about the fact that his current girlfriend was the last woman Micah would have been with.
"The world doesn't revolve around when I got laid last," Micah said dryly.
Gray blinked.
"It doesn't? I thought that was the standard male milestone for keeping time."
Nathan laughed.
"It is, or at least it's what the women would have you believe."
"I told Faith I had a headache last night,"
Gray said with a straight face.
"There's only so much I can take. She's an animal."
Micah hooted with laughter, relaxing now that the focus was momentarily off him. Connor groaned and covered his ears.
"Not cool, man. Not cool at all. I don't need that kind of information about my sister."
"Your sister's hot," Micah pointed out.
Nathan grimaced.
"I'm going to have to go with Connor on this one. I see Faith too much as a little sister to want to imagine her as an animal in bed."
Gray snorted.
"It wouldn't matter anyway, because if you so much as breathed wrong at another woman, Julie would have your nuts."
Everyone laughed as Nathan turned a dull red.
"The man is completely whipped," Connor snickered.
Nathan smiled.
"I don't have any problem admitting she's got me completely wrapped around her finger."
"There are worse things than having the love of a good woman,"
Micah said sincerely, while Gray and Nathan both nodded in agreement. Connor just studied him curiously.
"So is that what has you in a tailspin? A woman?"
Micah let out a grunt.
"In a matter of speaking, though it's not what you dickheads are thinking." "Ah," Gray said.
Micah flipped him the bird.
"The sister of an old friend of mine is in town, and I've got my hands full trying to keep her out of trouble."
Gray frowned.
"Trouble? What kind of trouble?"
Trust Gray's cop instincts to get all riled.
"She's a good girl," Micah said with a note of defensiveness even he could hear. "And that's the problem. She's a good girl with no idea of what can happen to a good girl in a big, strange city."
Connor scowled.
"Then why the hell is she here and where is her brother?" "David died a few years ago,"
Micah said quietly. Even now, after so long, it hurt to say out loud that David was gone.
"He was the only family Angelina had."
So you feel obligated to look after her, Connor said.
The others nodded in understanding.
Well, yeah, Micah said.
Nathan raised an eyebrow.
Not going well?
It's going just fine. Or it will be as soon as we get a few rules straight.
Gray choked on his drink and commenced to coughing.
Yeah, good luck with that, he wheezed.
How old is she anyway? Connor asked.
23,
Micah muttered. Is she hot?
Very,
he said before he could think better of it. Then he swore.
No, she damn well isn't hot, and I don't want you to even so much as look in her direction, you got me?
Connor held up his hands in surrender. Whatever you say, man. I swear you guys do your best to keep me away from all the good ones. I should be dating Julie, not Bonehead over here, he said as he jerked a thumb in Nathan's direction.
Nathan snorted.
You're not man enough for her. Connor scowled. And I suppose you are?
She's with me, isn't she?
Nathan returned smugly.
Gray leaned forward, ignoring the bickering between Connor and Nathan.
So you're spending your evenings babysitting her at her place or what? And what about during the day? Not like you can keep an eye on her all the time.
She's staying with me until we can find her a decent place. She's going to be looking for a job.
For once, they fell completely silent as they stared back at him. Gray coughed discreetly, and Nathan made a show of clearing his throat. Connor's eyes gleamed with unholy amusement.
So you have a young, hot girl living with you, and you're in a bad mood? Connor asked.
Shut the fuck up, Micah growled. Blue balls,
Gray said with a sage nod.
What our man has is a case of blue balls.
Fuck you, Micah said crudely. Fuck all of you. They laughed uproariously while Micah just shook his head. Gray pointed a finger in Micah's direction.
Mark my words, Hudson. Your ass is toast.
After an afternoon of ribbing, Micah was ready to get home, crack open a cold beer, and watch some TV. Then he remembered he had no food in the house, and while he had nothing against two-day-old pizza, he didn't see Angelina sharing his appreciation for it. He stopped at the local grocery store, piled a bunch of stuff he'd thought she'd like in the buggy, and headed to the checkout. Half an hour later, he pulled into his apartment complex and frowned when he didn't see Angelina's little tin can in the parking spot next to his. Maybe she was still out job hunting. He made two trips to get the groceries in, and it wasn't until he started to put them away that he saw the piece of paper propped against the canisters. He picked it up and unfolded it, his gaze scanning the neat handwriting.
Micah, gone to the house to play. Don't wait up for me. Love, Angelina.
Micah dropped the paper and was immediately assaulted by a pounding headache. Fuck a goddamn duck! What the hell did she think she was doing, besides driving him out of his damn mind?
He pinched the bridge of his nose between two fingers and closed his eyes to assuage the sensation of someone stabbing him in the eyeball. He was haunted by the images of Angelina the first time he'd seen her at the house. What the hell would he find her doing this time? Damon wouldn't be there, so he couldn't call him and demand he throw her out. Not that he would, anyway, but at least he could have made sure Damon watched over her. Cole was a good guy, but shit, he was the one flogging her the first night. And what guy with a working set of balls wouldn't leap at the opportunity to bend a gorgeous woman to his will? Leaving the groceries in the sacks, he made a grab for his keys and headed for the door. He and Angelina were definitely going to come to an understanding, right after his hand warmed her little ass, and he'd make sure the little brat didn't enjoy it either. Unfortunately for him, his dick stood up and paid attention at the idea of having her over his knee.
Yeah, she might not like it, or maybe she would. But he damn sure would.
The drive to the house seemed interminable. It was almost completely dark when he pulled up the drive, and it irritated the hell out of him to see Angelina's car in one of the spots closest to the door. The little hellcat had been here a while. He strode inside, and while he did a cursory check of the downstairs social rooms, he knew in his gut he'd find her upstairs where all the action took place. He just hoped like hell he didn't have to barge into one of the private rooms and drag her out. Damon would have his ass in a sling, and he'd probably be barred from the premises for life. When he got to the top of the stairs, he made a beeline for the common room. He hit the doorway and, to his relief, didn't see Angelina as the star attraction again. But that begged the question of where exactly she was. There, in the far corner of the room, he saw her. All the breath left him in a painful rush.
It was as if someone punched him squarely in the diaphragm. Lust and rage vied for equal airtime. Angelina, nude but for the ropes intricately wrapped around her upper body, under and above her breasts so that the small globes were displayed to their best advantage. The nipples, lush and erect, dark brown, like velvet. She was kneeling, her long hair sliding forward over her shoulders. Her arms were bound behind her, her knees spread, her pose one of complete supplication. God, how he longed to answer her plea for domination. Three men surrounded her, their hands touching her, sliding through her hair, reaching to finger her nipples. Then they hoisted her to her feet and one cupped her chin, tilted her lips to meet his. He plundered her mouth, ravaged it until she gasped for air. He wasn't gentle with her, a fact that enraged Micah. His reaction perplexed him. He knew he wouldn't be gentle with her, but another man treating her so roughly provoked a deep rage inside him. When the man pulled away from Angelina, her lips were swollen and bruised-looking. Her eyes glittered, and Micah saw a need that wasn't being fulfilled. She looked hungry, like a woman seeking but not finding. The other two men dropped down, and then their lips closed over her protruding nipples. She gave a small cry that seemed to satisfy them. They nursed like two starving men. The picture was provocative and erotic as hell. Would she allow them to fuck her? Is that what she wanted? To be dominated and possessed by multiple men? Part of him wanted nothing more than to watch while they took her. But another part of him was outraged that David's sister was here, being pawed by strange men. Another voice whispered deep, dark, and sensual, sliding seductively through his veins. You want her. You want to be the one who owns her. You're jealous. You're crazy jealous. Angelina was lifted by the two men who had suckled at her breasts. They each hooked an arm under the crook of one of her knees and spread her until she was open and vulnerable to the other man. Adrenaline pumped like thunder through Micah's veins. He was riveted to the sight of the lush, feminine flesh, spread, open to invasion. She was excited. Her pussy was wet and swollen, and he broke into a sweat as he imagined guiding his cock through her folds and ruthlessly opening her with his thrusts. His balls ached fiercely. His dick was impossibly hard and screaming for relief. A feminine hand slid over his arm and over his middle, snaking down to his crotch. Surprised and irritated by the interruption, he turned to see a woman next to him, her eyes glittering with lust. "Let me take care of this for you," she murmured as she cupped the bulge between his legs. "While you